Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Happy Black Friday, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your time off from work, time off from school, and I hope you're recovering from whatever Thanksgiving feast you were blessed with yesterday. And of course, there are many people in our own backyards around the world who went hungry yesterday and today. So let's pray for them and consider making a donation to help combat world hunger in that regard. I feel obliged to mention that, you know, given today and yesterday when we made food a big part of the day, but also family. But in any case, you may have noticed we didn't have a Council of Trent podcast episode yesterday because, well, it's Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. Take time with our families. I took time with my family. We just had some barbecue and it was great. And no, I am not good at cooking barbecue. I cannot cook anything. The closest I can do when it comes to food is I can assemble it. I can put it together. If you have the cooked and completed elements, I can put them together and warm it up in a microwave. Though recently, I've gotten pretty good at warming it up in an oven. I remember, you know, going from bachelorhood to becoming more of a true adult and someone who learns the ways of, you know, actually making real adult food. And when you learn to rely on more than just a microwave to create your meals, it is, I remember it just changed the game completely for me that, you know, I was in my early 20s, was single. Everything was just cooked up in the microwave, basically. And I would make quesadillas there. And, you know, you make them and they're just floppy and limp and ugh. But then when you fry that bad boy in a pan, put some butter on it, all the accoutrements. It's stupendous. So I guess, yeah, I'm still thinking about food because we had food yesterday, a lot of it. You might have as well. And before I continue with the topic for today's episode that we'll get into here on Free for All Friday at the Council of Trent podcast, which, by the way, I'm grateful for your support. If you're not supporting it, think about visiting trenthornpodcast.com to keep the podcast going. I don't like Thanksgiving food. Do you like Thanksgiving food? Honestly, I really don't see what the big deal is. If you ever watch the television show Parks and Rec, it's kind of like The Office. Basically, there was a subplot. It's about a park and recreation department in a small town in Indiana. And they were doing a festival and they had like this little mini horse, Sebastian. And everyone in town is in love with the mini horse, Sebastian. And Ben, one of the guys in the park, he said, one of the guys in the office, he says, I don't get it. So if you're a Parks and Rec fan, you can identify with me here. When it comes to Thanksgiving food, I am Ben. I don't get it. Turkey is not that great of a meat. It's kind of dry. Stuffing is just like fluffy whatever in my mouth. It all seems very heavy, not terribly flavorful food that you have on Thanksgiving. And the thing I really dread the most is when I go on Facebook or social media and people are putting pictures of Thanksgiving food online, which is not only is it not the tastiest, it is not photogenic. So that is my little rant about Thanksgiving. So I don't think Thanksgiving would get that much attention from us if it weren't a month before Christmas. Thanksgiving is just basically an alarm that lets everyone know Christmas is going to be here in a month. And another thing that reminds us about Christmas is shopping. And that's the unofficial holiday after Thanksgiving that you and I have come to love and know as Black Friday. So today you're listening to the podcast. I might be out today, Black Friday shopping, but odds are I probably did that on Thursday, and my wife is totally okay with that. We enjoyed our Thanksgiving lunch. We're not the kind of people who have dinner at 3 or 4. We lock that down around 11 or noon. Then once the kids go down for a nap, when the kids are down for their nap time, anything goes. So I'm recording this beforehand, you know, trying to prognosticate, predict the future. Probably went out to do my Black Friday shopping because they're starting it now on Thursday. I mean... people get mad about that. They'll say, you know, why? How dare they have shopping and things like that on Thanksgiving? You know, what about people should be home with their families? A lot of people I talk to who work Thanksgiving, they choose to work Thanksgiving because a lot of times they get double time pay for working that holiday. And there's some people, you know, their family might live far away. Our family lives in different states, so we're not getting together with extended relatives. Some people don't have family to celebrate the holiday with, and so they would just enjoy working and getting a lot of extra cash. When my wife used to work at the hospital, they had, you know, the holidays, and you had to pledge to work on certain holidays. So they had Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. You had that all lined up, and you had to pledge to at least work on three of them. And so we picked Black Friday, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day, because in the Horn household, we're not great about staying up late. I used to be a night owl. I remember I had a friend who worked at St. Joseph's Hospital, when, you know, it's back before I was married, and we would hang out a lot, and I would go and visit her to have on her lunch break at 1:30 in the morning, because I would be up at that time anyways, because I was a night owl. Now that I've had children, that has been beaten out of me mercilessly, that I've got to be in bed by like 9 o'clock or I'm not going to be happy. So we don't stay up late. So my wife had no problem, you know. Now we wanted to take, so she had no problem working on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, whereas a lot of other people would rather be able to celebrate New Year's Eve than Thanksgiving. They'd rather party with friends around midnight than an afternoon eating with family, what have you. That's my digression there. So I probably went out to go do my Black Friday shopping. And where I like to go is I honestly just get clothes once every 4 years. And I like them at Old Navy. I love Old Navy casual wear. And I go there and like the entire store is 50 or 70% off. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. So that made me think for Free for All Friday on Black Friday, what I should talk about. And I thought it'd be fun just to talk about practical tips for saving money. I believe that as Christians, anyone who's listening, I know a lot of people, a woman said to me the other day, she listens to the podcast. Her husband's not religious, but he likes listening to these episodes. And the ones she likes to share with him are my Free for All Fridays, because, you know, we talk about all different kinds of topics here. And even if you're not religious, you might find Free for All Friday to be fun. So if you're a podcast listener, you have a non-religious friend you'd like to introduce to my work or what I talk about, you could always start with Friday episodes of Free for All Friday. They might find interesting. Someone else told me they introduced a friend to my podcast through the episode I did on Marvel versus DC, and they really liked it. So if I can connect with someone on a non-religious topic, then that might bridge the gap a little. Then we could talk a little bit more, and they could listen to me talk about something religious. So it's like what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I've become all things to all men that I might win some over to Christ. So today, a topic I think almost everybody can relate to, and that is how to save money. We are called to be good stewards with what God has blessed us with, whether it's a lot of wealth or a little bit of wealth, whatever it may be, we're called to be good stewards with it. So the less money that we can waste, the more financially secure we are. Number one, makes us happier. I think like the number one thing that married couples fight about is usually money. And that makes sense. It's a stressor. It's a stressful world out there. But if we can have peace in our homes, peace in our financial life, and we're able to corral and control our wealth, a lot of times we feel like we're a slave to money, like the money just disappears. And if you listen to the podcast frequently, you'll know back when I was buying a house with Laura, we came out to San Diego, we recorded in the hotel room a little episode about financial tips, and Laura was there, and I think Thomas woke up in the middle of it. So you might want to go back to April or May when we were house hunting. I've addressed this before, but I want to go more in depth with that today, because if we can control our money, in that episode, we talked about how it feels like money can disappear sometimes throughout the month. You don't know where it goes and you feel stressed. You don't have any, and you don't have any to do good. You want to donate to a special cause, donate to your church, donate to a charity. You find out that a friend has fallen on really hard times or is really stressed with just gave birth. So you want to treat their whole family to dinner. When you can manage money and keep it from being wasted, you have the power to do that. So a lot of times, there's increasing income is a good way to get extra money. I mean, that's the primary way. It's kind of funny when people say, how do you have healthy finances? It's kind of like having a healthy body. Like, you have all those fad diets out there, and I hear a new one all the time. And me, I'm an intermittent fasting guy. Maybe we'll have Jimmy on the show soon, and we can talk about intermittent fasting. I hate diets. I don't think really many of them work. You know, there's keto, there's South Beach, there's all these different, you need to have high fat, high protein, low carb, or you need certain carb, protein, low fat. I'm just like, forget it. The basic thing with having a healthy body is less calories in, more calories out. Restrict the calories that come in and expend more calories through exercise. And 80% of it, 90% of it is going to be restricting calories that come in. Exercise barely gets you to lose weight. It's really better at helping you stay healthy. So 90% reduced calories coming in, 10%, you know, send calories out through exercise. With finances, it's kind of reversed. A lot of it is going to be, 20% is increasing more money coming in. 80% of it, though, I would say is reducing money going out to have financial peace, watching where your money goes. So that's what I want to talk about on today's Black Friday episode. These are my top tips for just simple ways you can keep money from feeling like it's disappearing from your budget every month. And that's tip number zero, though, is you got to have a budget. I talked about this with Laura a few months ago. You got to have a budget to know where the money goes. If you don't have a budget and you just spend, like, I think I need money right now, you have no idea where it's going and you feel like it's disappearing. So number one is budgeting. Know where every dollar is going and track it, spreadsheet it, anything you can. And try to use cash when you go out. Cash will discourage you from wanting to spend. When you have a card, it feels like invisible money. When you have to hand over Andrew Jackson, that's why I get personal money. You know, every 2 weeks at payday, I get $40, my little personal money that I can have fun with. And it's two $20 bills. And a lot of times at the end of 2 weeks, they're still there because I don't have the heart to kill Andrew Jackson. He wasn't that great of a president anyways. But the point of the matter is, I don't want to do it. Whereas if you have a card, you just slide it through the checkout line and the money's gone. You didn't even really feel it. So use cash. And when you go out with your cash, here are some tips of mine. Number one, barter and shop around. Resist the urge that if you want to get something, you say, oh, I really need this or I want to buy this. Resist the urge to buy it right then and there. Whether it's a small purchase, like you go to Target, you go to Walmart, wherever it may be, when you're out, odds are it's probably cheaper online. Like when I go to Target and I go out shopping, I'll look online and I'll bring out my cell phone and punch in, you know, where is, you know, I'm going to buy Old Spice deodorant. Now you know what kind of deodorant I wear. People come up to me at talks and say, I feel like I know you, like you're my friend, but you're not my friend. I say, well, I'll be your friend. But, you know, it's, I feel like if people listen to the podcast enough, they can assemble all my personal details of my life. So let's say I'm going to go out and buy toiletries at the store. I'll go online and look at Amazon and see, is it cheaper there? If it's cheaper there, never mind. I'm going to order it there. What happens to us, the trap we fall into, we're at home, we realize we've run out of something and we got to run to the store. That even we live in an age with Prime ordering, if you're a member of Amazon Prime, whatever it may be, you can get something. It's amazing. Our grandparents would have been baffled by this, that you can just type into a device and the next day something will be delivered to your house for free. Any kind of toiletry, shopping supply, whatever it may be. Keep an eye out for that. Don't fall into the trap of you run out of something. Because like for us, we have, you know, an 18-month-old. We need diapers. We go online. Diapers are much cheaper when you buy them online versus buying them in a store. When you go and buy them in a store, there are overhead costs. It raises the price of the goods. Not at all. Sometimes I'll look online and something online is the same as in the store. Fine. You break even. I'll get it in the store. Or the store could be having a clearance special. You could check the clearance racks. And, oh, there you go. You could beat Amazon sometimes based on a special clearance discount or a coupon you bring into a store. So track your goods at home and use smart online ordering and check the local stores to see if the local stores can beat them with a coupon or some kind of a clearance discount. You could do that not just in stores as well. When I go to Jiffy Lube to get my oil changed, I'm not a car guy. I'm not really great at, you know, figuring out, oh, well, I'm just going to slide under here and check this out. I would probably die if I tried to put a car on a jack and slide under it and fix something. Something would go wrong or I would break the car. I'm not great at that. But even that, I still try to find ways to save money on auto repair and not get scammed. So first, if you have to go to a repair shop, do shop around. Check out different things. Get friends' recommendations and compare prices. Try it. Rule of three. If you have to make a big purchase on something, try to find two other shops or vendors and see if they can match or beat the price. And tell them, these people will do it at this price. What can you offer me? It takes a little bit of time, but it's worth it if you can save the money. But I remember going to a Jiffy Lube, and they would say to me, oh, you need this fixed in your car. It's going to be $100. And I would kind of barter. I remember I would say to them, I wasn't lying. Don't lie to people. You know, I'm going to visit my parents in 6 months, and sometimes they take care of my car stuff. You know, so it's kind of pricey for me right now, unless you can bring the price down a little. They said, oh, well, how about 70? So on things like that, on a lot of like mechanical work or other things, you can sometimes barter a little bit. Don't be super aggressive about it. I hate aggressive bartering. But just try to see, ask them, you know, what can you do for me? Or like at a Jiffy Lube or other place, you can say, is there a coupon before you agree to buy it? And you should find out the price before you agree. Ask them, hey, by the way, is there a coupon online or anywhere you could just apply to this purchase for me? Because this is a little bit out of my price range. Same thing like if you're dealing with a provider like cable service provider. On the phone, if you're starting up a new service or if you really want to reduce your bill, go online, look at your cell phone bill, look at your cable bill. Honestly, get rid of cable. there's nothing good on anyways, and you know it. You spend most of your time cycling through trying to find something, and if it is on there, it's either really boring or it's bad for you. Just get rid of it. Go with internet. Like me, I just have internet. So I go to my internet provider, and I told them, look, this is all I can do. What can you do for me? Otherwise, I'm going to have to cancel. And they'll want to do what it takes to keep you. And you can, you might have to bluff your way through this. Just say, look, I can only do this price, or I have to get it reduced, or I will have to cancel. And then they say, okay, I guess you'll have to cancel. Fine, transfer me to that department. And then just hang up the phone. But usually if you tell them you have to leave the service, they will lower the price for you, even a little bit. Hey, if you can save $10 a month, that's over $100 a year. It starts to add up if you do it that way. So that would be something else that I would, you know, watch out for. You know, try to barter, try to shop around. Here's another place where money disappears for a lot of people, and that's eating out. And I'm sympathetic to this because I love eating out. I don't go out drinking. I'm not a big alcohol person. I'm not a big gun person. I don't go out shooting. Don't go out drinking. Don't go out to the games. I don't have a lot of things that are like me that I go out and spend money on frivolously. But eating out at a good restaurant, I'm not talking about a chain restaurant. The one thing I hate the most is eating out at a place that's a chain. It's going to be mediocre at best, or it's just going to be really bad and expensive, frankly. That stuff's getting expensive now, so it's just not worth it. So I like to go out, and you know, and you probably like this too. You like to go out and go to a restaurant and go to a nice carry out place. Or if you're tired and you don't want to eat dinner, you go and pick something else, something up. Now, if you're really trying to save a lot of money, cut out eating out entirely. It'll be hard. You do it for 6 months, you will save a ton of money if you're trying to get out of debt, for example. But there are ways that, so if you need to do that, pack a lunch. But here's my trick. When you have gone to eat out at a place, grab some extra things to make your meals at home that much more fun. So I'll go to Chick-fil-A and I'll ask for a few Chick-fil-A sauces. I'll just have one with my meal, save the others, you know, eat them with some chips or a chicken sandwich at home that I make. And if you know, little things when you go out to eat, like special sauces or, you know, a little extra cup from the salsa bar somewhere that is just really good, you can't find anywhere else. I mean, don't abuse it. I have been guilty of, I'm probably going to have to go to confession about this, maybe being a bit too gratuitous at the salsa bar lately at my favorite Mexican restaurant. So don't be gratuitous about it, but one or two extra cups, they put it out there to your discretion. Take a few things from where you eat out and garnish meals at home, and it gives them an extra zest, and you don't feel like you have to eat out, but it doesn't feel like the same old sandwich you make at home that can feel kind of boring or stale. But when you do eat out, my number one tip when it comes to eating out, though, is number one, try not to sit down. If you want to save money, don't sit down there. If you sit down at the restaurant, even if it's a table service restaurant, if you sit down, that's a 20% tip, 18%. I mean, even if the service is not great, you still got to leave like 15%. I would only not leave a tip if the person was racist or said that I was a bigot and splashed water in my face. I think that might be the only time I wouldn't leave a tip at a restaurant. Otherwise, you got to leave a tip. If you cannot afford to leave a tip at a restaurant, you cannot at a table service restaurant, you cannot afford to eat out at that restaurant. You just have to accept that. I mean, these people make tip wages. They depend on getting 20% is the norm. And even above 20%, if they've been really stellar. And by the way, don't be one of Protestants do this more than Catholics, but don't be a weirdo. There's a religious tract. It looks like a $20 bill, but you open it up and it says, here's something more valuable than a tip, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's really going to look good to someone, especially someone who's not Christian, to be stiffed by a Christian and told, believe in Jesus, it's more valuable. The absolute worst thing you can do. So leave a tip. But if you don't feel like you can do that, then place an order to a carryout restaurant or to a table service restaurant and say, hey, can I get this and this, but can I get that to go? And they're more than happy to do that for you because then they're not wasting time at a table. They've got their resources for people in the restaurant. Go pick it up. That also saves you on drinks, whether it's alcoholic or soda. The margin on drinks is where restaurants make a lot of their money. When I worked at a movie theater, we made no money on ticket sales. That all went back to the studios. We made money selling popcorn and soda because it costs us maybe 10 cents. I'm telling, literally, the bags might cost 25 cents, but the food itself, it costs 10 cents to make a large popcorn and a large drink. It's nothing to make that food. Then we sell it for, you know, put that together, that's like $8. That's like 1,000% markup. It's a huge margin. So if you go to a restaurant, you know, ordering a drink, alcoholic or soda, that's where they get you. You can get that a lot cheaper at the grocery store. So if you carry out your food at the restaurant, table service restaurant, take it home, you've got your drinks there, put it in the oven to warm it up a little. Don't do the microwave. It's going to spoil it. Microwave makes everything rubbery. Put it in the oven just a little, 375 degrees, 7 minutes, molto bene. The bread will still be crunchy. The meat will be sizzling. Learn to use the oven, my friend. So then you've been able to enjoy eating out a meal, and you've already saved costs. You're not paying tips. You're not paying expensive drinks. And then here's the next thing you do. Whether you're at a table restaurant or at home, cut the food in half. Cut it in half. Put half of it in Tupperware. Boom. A meal that would have been $20 eating out is now $10 each one. Because honestly, a lot of those meals, there are enough calories in them you can last for a long time. There's more than enough calories that you need in some of these meals when you eat out. Cut it in half. Don't eat until you're stuffed. Just eat until you're not hungry. That's how people stay healthy. Learn to eat until the twinge of hunger is gone, but not till you feel just full and stuffed over. That will be better for your body and better for your wallet, honestly. When I was looking online for tips, my favorite one, someone wrote down that there was a special on hamburgers at a restaurant. So they bought the hamburger, went home, and put the cheese on it later. Great, great advice. Next one, thrift stores. Find a good secondhand store. I'm not a big fan of Goodwill, actually. I don't think they're great. But you can find more independent thrift stores. My wife has found awesome finds, and they're like toys for the kids. And honestly, you get it. I mean, you know, oh, other kids have played with it. Just Clorox wipe that bad boy. It'll be fine. And you can get it amazingly discounted, even if it's a little dinged up or mildly broken. Guess what? Especially if you have toddlers or little kids, if you got it new from the store, it ain't going to look new for very long. So try thrift stores for clothes. Sometimes thrift store clothes don't last a long time, but you can find some good deals there. So check that out when you can for a lot of those things. Another tip, buy generic when you can. So now it depends. With certain kind of foods, I don't buy generic. Like when I buy milk, I don't drink alcohol. I only drink a little bit of soda. I just like milk. It's something that makes me feel good inside. I don't know what it is. I never kick my lactose phase. But I can guarantee you I can taste the difference between regular milk that's $1.99 and organic that's $4.99. I can taste the difference. I know one is not as high quality. We had a friend who was a pediatrician who said, don't buy the cheap milk for your kids. It's not good for them, honestly. But other things you can buy in the store, buy the generic brand. You can't tell the difference. Medicine is a good example. And I'm struggling with this still because there's kind of a placebo effect. I'm like, well, NyQuil, if it's NyQuil, it's really going to, that's really going to give me the better than the Walquil, you know, the off brand. So I'm struggling against the placebo effect, but intellectually I know, and if you can overcome the placebo effect and know this truth, generic medicines have to pass certain FDA tests. They have the same active ingredients as the store brands. You will save a lot of money buying generic medicine over name brand, and that's true across the board. So if you're up for that, that's a great way to be able to save money when you're out. Next tip. Learn home skills. Like I said, I'm not handy. I'm not good with cars. I'm not good with things around the house. But the more you can learn to fix things or do things on your own, you will save a lot of money. My wife just recently took up sewing. She made a wonderful cape for my son. I'm sure buying a cape online would have been like 10 bucks. It cost maybe $1.50 with the fabric for her. And he loves that thing. So find friends who know skills. If you don't know them, do YouTube or ask a friend. And they can hook you up with different skill sets. And if you learn sewing, maintenance, repair, you're going to end up saving a lot of money in the long run. So you don't have to pay a specialist to do that. There is one caveat though here. Sometimes you might think you can save money by asking a friend to do things around your house or asking friends or paying friends a lower rate. Tread with caution. I operate with this rule in life. This is the rule. Don't do business with friends. I think it's a good rule for anybody to live by. Don't do business with friends. I've done business with friends before, paid for them to do things, or they have paid me. And then there's tension and there's weirdness. Don't do business with friends. Don't make a loan to a friend. If you give money to a friend, that is a gift. The money is gone. Do not expect it back unless you expect to not be friends anymore. Just don't do it. But if you invite a friend to come over and you're just enjoying the afternoon, you're fixing things together, take it for what it is. You enjoyed their time together. Buy them a meal. Thank them for doing their work around the house. If something breaks, they didn't do it correctly, let it go. Just let it go. Guess what? They're not Home Depot. You don't have a warranty with them. They are your friend. Treat them like a friend. I had a friend who used to jokingly say, if you can't use your friends, who can you use? So that would be something to keep in mind there. Don't use your friends. Be wary about doing business with them. So otherwise, though, if they can help you learn to become independent so you don't have to rely on specialists, that's something great. Tap into them for that. Or at the least worst, try YouTube University to learn these skills. And my number one, the final tip, you should probably cancel your gym membership. If odds are 50% of the people, if you have a gym membership and you're listening to this, there's a 50-50 chance you don't use it enough to make it viable. Or you could do those similar exercises around the house by just buying a pair of free weights one time or going running around the block. So a lot of people, there are statistics about gyms. It's pretty funny, actually. Here's the statistic. 80% of people who join a gym in January quit within 5 months. 4 out of 5 people. In fact, gyms, if for them to be profitable, they have to have 10 times as many members as their gym can support. They operate knowing that at least 4 out of 5 people, they assume 4 out of 5 people who are using the, who could use the gym don't use it at any given time, that they rely on people buying a membership and then not using it anymore. So take an honest look at your gym membership and see, is this really worthwhile to do? Is there a way that I can cut back? And then if you're really exercising and you're in a better place financially, you can consider going back to the gym. Especially, don't get suckered in for the expensive gyms. You can find some that are offering it for $10 a month. Something to keep in mind to stretch your wallet. That way it does not stretch your stomach, legs, arms, back, or any other part of your body that desperately needs exercise. Well, we have come to the end of our time together. I hope you're enjoying this day off. I enjoyed my time with you here on Black Friday. But as always, these tips with you, I think they're fun. But importantly, as I mentioned before, I think it's important to watch our money. That way we can have it. Because one of the ways that we can do good in the world, think about it. Jesus said to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. The church teaches that we have to engage in the corporal works of mercy. I mean, there was a time for a lot of people you had to directly go and do that. But we live in an age where someone who is starving or naked or cold on the other side of the world, I can input my credit card number and I can help them right here, right now. You can do that. A lot of things that hold us back are our paycheck seems to disappear at the end of the month. We have nothing left for anyone else. Let's stop that and let's offer that up for the benefit of others, including, of course, for your humble podcaster here, Mr. Trent Horn at Council of Trent Podcast, that if you like this podcast to help keep it going, making a donation at trenthornpodcast.com is very helpful. But of course, if you have to make the choice between feeding a hungry person and keeping the podcast going, feed a hungry person first. Then you got a little bit left over. I'm always appreciative. And I'm appreciative for you listening. Thank you so much for being here. It really is a treat. I'm so happy to see how the podcast is going. I feel very blessed by all of you as listeners, so I hope that this episode blessed you, and I hope you have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.